You might have put last year's furloughs out of your mind, but who can blame you? But for one agency, your bad memory is its current struggle. The Merit Systems Protection Board is working through more than 32,000 furlough appeals. Chairman Susan Grundman says most of the cases are now assigned to administrative judges, and they're in the hearing process.
Which means they're either in the initial stages, discovery, where documents are being requested and interrogatory swapped. They're scheduled for a hearing, they're in the hearing stage, or a decision has been issued. And to date, I can say that we have issued over 1,600 decisions so far, of which over 1,300 are solely Department of Defense.
And what about the other ones?
Well, the other ones are in the pipeline, and this is what we're actually going through right now. In addition to this number of cases, which is still overwhelming, but we're managing, we keep in mind we have an additional 5,000 cases regarding other issues within our jurisdiction, such as...
The regular stuff, in other words.
Yeah, well, it's not regular to be removed but or suspended, but there are removals and suspensions, veterans claims. The furlough cases, however, present an unusual challenge for us. Some of them are related to Mother Nature. For instance, in Philadelphia, every time we schedule a case, it snows and the hearing's postponed. And some of them are logistical in nature. Our typical MSPB case involves one appellant, maybe two. Here, the vast majority of the furlough cases are tens, hundreds, thousands of employees, all with an independent right to present his or her case, all with the individual right to cross-examine agency witnesses, and many without common representatives or any representative at all. So there's some flexibility involved. We have a case scheduled next week in an Air Force base in an auditorium because our hearing rooms are actually too small to accommodate the number of people present. We had a case, a non-DOD case, where the hearing changed its location from day to day because more people were coming in and couldn't be accommodated. Then we have some other types of cases where the appellants choose to be at the hearing, but they really don't want to testify or cross-examine. And we have the other extreme where an individual has come forward to represent a group of people, only to have a group of employees say, we don't want to pursue the appeal. So it is completely a mixed bag.
And there's no way really of bundling them by like types of appeals. I mean, so many of them probably, in fact, are alike, even though they are individual cases.
And that's a great question, because right now the cases are consolidated. Not all cases can be consolidated, but the vast majority of cases are consolidated by facility, by deciding official, by types of claims that are raised within each case.
And of those that you have actually decided, have you found that any agency acted wrongly?
So far in the cases where decisions have been issued, no appellant has prevailed. But there have been a number of settlements along with a handful of appeals to the board members and headquarters.
Hold on a second. What does that mean if they haven't prevailed but there have been settlements? What's actually going on?
I have no idea. I haven't seen the settlements. It could be that they've split the difference, and I'm guessing right now. It could be that the claim was withdrawn for some reason. But there have been resolutions along the way.
And those aren't ones that necessarily the Merit Systems Protection Board is party to, right? That the parties could decide to work it out themselves.
They could work it out themselves, and they can enter the settlement agreement into the record for enforcement purposes by us.
But as I was asking before, are there any lessons to draw from that other than these are sort of individual cases and we don't really know the details? Anything else for other agencies, other federal employees to learn from that?
Well, we're learning as we go along. We're learning, first off, that there's some flexibility required. We're learning that our IT system is not set up for 32,000 people to access it at the same time. So we're going to do some changes along those ends. And we're also learning that there's surprises along the way. I mean, for the first time, we're seeing appeals from the deciding officials themselves. And let me explain that. In order for a furlough to be implemented, there has to be an individual who signs off on that furlough, and that person is a deciding official. Some of these deciding officials have also been furloughed themselves. And mercifully, they did not have to sign their own furlough decisions. So we're having cases where a deciding official who signed about 100 furlough notices, he's arguing that the decision to furlough him does not promote the efficiency of service, and that the agency could have undertaken cost-saving measures to avoid this particular furlough. We have another deciding official who's arguing that it's a conflict of interest for him to be furloughed when he has to sign furlough decisions for other people. So, again, it's going to be interesting.
It's almost like a lawyer having to sue themselves or something.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, if all of the cases have been such that the appellants have not prevailed so far, does that imply that the government officials that had to do all that furloughing across the government, probably, or at least within DOD, did a reasonably clean job of it?
All I can say is no one has prevailed so far. That doesn't mean that they won't prevail in the future for whatever reasons.
We're speaking with Susan Grumman. She's chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. So we've talked with you at different intervals since you were swamped, in your words, with these appeals. Tell us a little bit about how your agency is managing its caseload now. Are you, in fact, managing it well?
We think so, to the best of our ability. We're trying to balance the furlough appeals with all the other cases that we talked about. And as such, the furlough cases will have to be heard over a period of time, because with some 55, 57 administrative judges, we can't do them all at once. What I can say is that we're hoping to complete all of these cases by the end of fiscal year 15, with a significant number done by the end of 14. And if you think about it, that's comparable to what we've done in the past with the last time we received a wave of cases, and that was the air traffic control strike back in the 80s. We finished all the air traffic controller cases within about a 2.5-year period with more staff than we have now and with more resources than we currently have. So far we're on track.
So are there any other lessons learned that you feel like are emerging from this? Clearly, you said you have to upgrade possibly your IT system. What about operationally or approaches? Are there things that you're learning from all of this?
Well, and what we're learning is that the most significant issue here is staffing. It's staffing on the front end with administrative help to docket these cases and issue orders and other associated administrative work. There are the administrative judges, half of which are getting ready to retire this year, that we have to start replacing. And there are other attorneys in the system who do writing and preparation in other aspects of adjudication. So staffing is going to be a priority this fiscal year and certainly next fiscal year if possible. And the IT structure to shore it up and make sure it can withstand a challenge like this in the future.
And I do want to ask you about those top line budget numbers for fiscal 2014-2015, as it relates to what we're talking about. 2014, it's $45 million and then going down to $42 million in 2015. Does that reflect the increase in staff and other things that you need to complete the furlough appeal work?
Well, the 14 number is approximately $3 million more than we've received over the last 3 years. So with that number, we're finally being able to plan. And we're looking at staffing, not just permanent staffing, but temporary staffing, because we don't exactly know whether the funding will be there in 15, 16, whatever. And then the IT system is another main priority.
Chairman Susan Sway Grumman explains why the board is asking Congress for $6 million more.
The agency is about people, not about things or programs. Not that things and programs are bad, but we adjudicate personnel issues. We study the federal workforce and its environment, and like our mission and function, the cost of running this agency really boils down to people. 80% of our budget every year goes to salaries and benefits. 90% of that increase that we're looking for is really about people. So again, let's talk about people. The increases primarily go towards the administrative judges' ranks and the adjudication ranks. Half of our AJ Corps is eligible for retirement. And the core of our AJs has shrunk during the last 3 years, with only a few new AJs coming on this year.
AJs for administrative judges.
Correct, correct. And bearing in mind that it takes 2 years to train an administrative judge, so they're fluent in all areas of our jurisdiction. Now, while the core has shrunk, the cases still continue to arrive, and the administrative judges and their paralegals are really on the front line. So where are these cases coming from? We talked a little bit about this before, which is their furlough cases, their OPM retirement and disability cases. There are also new cases, a number of cases, on the Whistleblower Protection Act, with the changes in the law, with the Enhancement Act, and changes in the Federal Circuit law, more cases are going to hearing. And those cases that are going to hearing are lasting much longer. Now, throw into that mix certain management flexibilities that are periodically introduced into our system. New programs can and usually are tested through our adjudication function, and our past is prologue. We see a rise in cases every time we see new programs, such as the Federal Career Intern Program. We saw a number of cases back in 2006. We saw it again when DOD implemented the National Security Personnel System, and we're now seeing cases in presidential pathways.
So let me ask you this, though, because obviously you had these talks with the White House asking for $6 million more than it decided upon. Why do you think you were unable to convince the White House that you needed the $6 million, which in the grand scheme of the federal government is a very small sum?
It is. I'm glad you pointed that out. But we have independent budgeting authority, so that allows us to present a separate budget to Congress.
One of the outstanding numbers that you present in this budget justification is that you've already seen an increase of more than 525% last year in your caseload. But this budget request seems to be based on the assumption that sequestration is still going to be the law of the land, that Congress is not going to overturn it.
The sequestration furloughs, the impact of those furloughs, are going to be felt for the next several years. Right now, we're feeling it in the region, in the field offices, with the administrative judges going to hearing. With more cases being filed, more cases are going to be appealed, and some of them have already started arriving in headquarters. And when those cases arrive in headquarters, they impact not just one office, but the whole institution. It impacts not just the board members and their staff. It impacts our Office of Appeals Counsel. It impacts our Clerk of the Board, which collects all the data on the front end and then issues the decision on the back end. It also impacts our Office of General Counsel because they're involved in the adjudication process. And finally, ultimately, it tests the infrastructure of our system. We talked a little bit about this before. Last summer, we were severely tested when we got thousands and thousands of these cases filed electronically within a given period. And if you were using our system at that time, you will note that at times we had to take the system down and reboot. And that's the reason why, because these cases flooded our system and really stretched it beyond the capacity that we were capable to maintain.
In terms of the other things that you are asking for this new money for, one of the things that you foresee with this budget request is that there could be reductions in force in the government. Are you seeing any cases so far or any inklings from agencies that there will be cases brought to you about reductions in force?
That's a great question. We have seen a few cases, but unlike the furlough cases, the RIF cases are far more complex in nature. They take a lot more time. There's a lot more evidence that goes into the record. And those cases, because they're so complex and because it involves loss of job, those cases do get appealed to headquarters.
And have you seen any from the Office of Personnel Management? I guess that's the one that most recently did announce that it was going to RIF about 300 employees.
Yeah, that I suspect it's a little early for us to start seeing those cases. I mean, the announcement to RIF doesn't mean the personnel action itself. The time to file wouldn't actually occur until individuals received a decision notice from the agency.
With all of these, and given the fact that you were just saying that your administrative judges are retirement, many are retirement eligible, what's going to happen if your budget stays pretty much flat?
Well, we make do. We make do. I mean, one of the things we're looking at is temporary hires, the possibility of those. But as I said before, we're going to have to get through the system. Every case is going to get adjudicated, whether we're flat or not. It's just going to be a lot faster, and a lot more efficient with the proper funding and with some succession planning. At some point in time, the bulk of our AJ Corps, our Administrative Judge Corps, is going to retire. And in order to maintain that level of efficiency that we've had in the past, cases keep coming. We keep taking them. We're going to have the people to do it.